right, cool. Well, today we have Mr. Joshua Ligner sharing with us. Come on up, Josh. Let's pray for Josh. Lord, we just thank you so much for Josh. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you have placed inside of him for today. And we just can't wait to hear what you have to share through him. I just pray it would just come smooth. Lord, just help him just arrange his thoughts, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, I just want to share from my life and from Scripture about my relationship with money. You know, it's been like a really interesting journey for me, my relationship with money. Anybody else have an interesting relationship or had ups and downs relationship with money in your life? It's like, God, how do I do that? Yeah. I think about, you know, the old movie Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi teaching Daniel's son how to become an expert karate master. And how does he do it? Wax on, wax off, right? And I feel like me and the Lord, I'm Daniel's son, and the Lord is Mr. Miyagi. And in my life, the wax on and the wax off of my life has been money. And it was never about making me rich or poor. The money was just what he was using to develop a healthy relationship, a healthy heart when it comes to his kingdom, specifically finances. That makes sense? It was never about Daniel becoming the best car waxer in the world. There was always something bigger going on. And I realized with the Lord, it was never about the money. It was always about my heart. Anybody have a testimony similar to that where it's like, you know what? Money is one of those things that's part of our culture, part of our existence. If you're going to have a mortgage, a car, food, anything, money is going to be involved. But I believe that I have been processing, walking through a money disorder. You guys know there's eating disorder? You can never tell somebody with an eating disorder, just stop eating, it'll be okay. Like, no, you kind of need that, you know? Money is like one of those things where, you know, you might have a smoking disorder and you say, well, just quit smoking. Well, okay, you're not going to die if you stop smoking, but you're going to die if you stop eating. And that's why that disorder is a little bit more tricky. You know what I'm saying? And I think money's kind of in that same vein where the Lord wants us to have a healthy relationship with money. He wants our hearts to be healthy when it comes to money. But it's also one of those things where we just can't put it in a box and forget about it. That's why it's a disorder, because it's a natural part of our lives, but it gets a little whack sometimes. So is that a good little precursor, kind of see where I'm coming from? And I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. I'm going to try to talk about the heart and the heart behind money. I was thinking about this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad I read when I was in my early 20s. I ever heard of that one? Robert Kiyosaki. And I was so disappointed when I read that book because I thought it was going to tell me how to make money. All it did was tell me how to think about money in a different way. So that's kind of my goal. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. Hopefully I'm not going to tell you something that you've heard and cringed at over the years. I'm really just going to try to talk to you about my relationship with money, the ups, the downs, some of the ways that I've read Scripture wrong, and maybe some of the ways I'm reading it today that's a little bit more healthy. Is that fair? Does anybody want to leave yet? Okay, good. Good, good, good. Well, let me get my notes out here. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. Some scripture I know we've all read at times. And having kind of laid a little bit of what's going on, I'd like to pray again, because there's no way this message is going to be impactful, good, or anything else unless Holy Spirit takes on everything I'm saying and communicates it to your heart. So Jesus, I'm just here simply out of obedience, but I feel like you have positioned me to speak on this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that somehow through the brokenness of my own handlings and mishandlings with finances in my life, things that you've brought me through, Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be a freedom in our hearts I pray, Lord, anywhere there is a money disorder, that you would gently come in and bring healing to those places and hearts and lives, Lord. Pray, Lord, for your grace on what I have to say, to be clear, to be full of love. There would be no condemnation, Lord, but just grace. And if, Lord, if you want to sneak a little conviction in there, we're okay with that. We just open our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, give me the grace to be vulnerable, and just, Holy Spirit, bring your comfort in to all of us, Father. Amen. I didn't hear any amens when I said it's okay for a little conviction to get snuck in there. Anybody say amen to that? Okay, good. Here we go. Chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Everybody say, reward me. We're going to go down to verse 19 now. Verse 19 says this: do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, right? You ever catch that little therefore there? I love it. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Isn't it beautiful when you read it that way? Isn't it like a little, whoa, I never caught that before. I usually just kind of stop because it stopped being read, and now there's like a little don't be anxious section. Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with this money part over here. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. He says it again. Do not be anxious about what you eat or drink. Pretty cool. Just reading it that way, as I was studying this, if you start off at verse 25 with a therefore, you kind of need to know what was before the therefore. Checking with me? So a couple things in here that I want to try to unpack. Number one, the Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's pretty interesting to me that it's vague there. I've always thought in my relationship with money, when I read that verse, I always assumed the reward would be more money. Anybody else do that? The Father who sees in secret, when he sees you giving to the needy, when he sees you giving to the poor, when he sees you tithing or whatever, he sees me doing that in secret, and he is going to reward me. And I always, always, always imagined the reward would be more money. Maybe the reward would be money in the form of a bigger contract for my business. Maybe the money would be in the form of somebody saying, hey, I want to give you a car. But I always pictured the reward of money being something else tangible. And this is one of the things in the past year or so I'm realizing, because these scriptures are all about the heart. He sees the heart, right? I feel like the Lord's number one priority is our heart. Remember the whole wax on, wax off thing I was sharing about? He doesn't care if I become a good waxer. He cares about my heart. And what if the reward of giving is actually more focused on what happens in our heart when we give than getting more money back? Because if you think of it the other way, if I'm giving because I know that there might be a bigger financial reward coming, that's kind of like buying a lottery ticket that's a guaranteed winner, right? Anybody would do that. I would go ahead, but if I give, and I'm like, Lord, I know it's vague about the reward, and I know you say here in your word to give so my left hand doesn't know what my right hand's doing. You see in secret what's going on. And I know that you're after my heart. What if the reward is actually what happens when I give away something that has the potential to become a disorder in my life? Let me explain that a little bit more. I believe money has the potential to become kryptonite. You guys know what kryptonite is, right? It's the one thing that takes Superman? Superman, I was like about it. Travis's face palming. How did he even have to think about that? How did you have to think about that, man? Kryptonite, that one thing that would take Superman out, the one thing that's his weakness. And I just had this idea that somehow money, I've seen it in my own life, has the ability to become a form of kryptonite to me. Somehow, money has the ability to go from something that I, you know, need to pay my bills to something that I love. You know, that one of the most misquoted Bible verses is what? Money is the root of all evil, right? That's the misquoted. There you go. The love of money is the root of all evil. And somehow my heart and money have this relationship where it can easily turn into this money is something that I now love. And that is where the problem comes in. And maybe the blessing, maybe the reward that is happening here, and this has been my experience, is when I give it away, I'm like depowering that thing in me that wants to love it. And that's a freedom of heart that goes well beyond a new contract or more money or a winning lottery ticket. The giving away of the money is my way of just saying no. I choose to fight against this kryptonite effect of money to make my heart, to draw my heart into loving it. How many of you would agree that's a pretty priceless reward right there? I would rather have that than more money. I'm not saying you're not going to have more money, because I feel like as we grow in this, we'll see that the Lord can trust us with more. But the point isn't about the more money or the less money. The point is, it's almost like a protection from money becoming something that we love. Then we'll draw, you guys can, we'll probably read that in a little bit in Timothy. So here's how I kind of came upon that. This past week, I was in the mountains. I forgot to leave my car. I forgot to lock my truck. And in my truck, I have a little stash. Anybody else have you don't want to put your hands up. I have a little stash in my truck. I have like anywhere from $60 to $100 just hidden in my vehicle in case my wallet's stolen and I'm broken down somewhere. I need to get gas. I don't know. It's in there. I left my truck open. I got back home Wednesday, got in, and like everything in my truck was scattered about my vehicle, like things that I knew were supposed to be here, business cards, CDs, all of it was like in my thing. I'm like, man, looks like one of the kids went through my truck. And then the thought hit me, oh, my stash. Guess what? I went to go find my stash and it was missing. You know what my stash was? A $100 bill hidden in my truck that somebody went, rummaged through. All my cleaning supplies were in there. They didn't take any microfiber cloths. They didn't take any pressure washing wands or things like that. They found the $100 bill and they left a mess in my truck. Rewind. This isn't the first time somebody's been in my vehicle before. I have a bad habit of leaving my truck unlocked. Right now, you could probably go to my truck right now and find another stash, I don't know. But years ago, this happened. Somebody goes into my truck. I think this time it was a pair of my favorite sunglasses, something like polarized glass lens sunglasses, anywhere from $90 to $120 sunglasses. They were hanging on the thing. I went into, I think, a coffee shop or something. Come back out, gone. not only did I feel violated, but my heart was like mad. Like, I lost peace. I got angry. I started like, I was like, these people, they don't know what it's like. If they ever worked a day in their life, they would never steal from somebody. And here, and I just started, got mad. This time, my $100 is gone. And there was, don't get me wrong, I still had that feeling of being violated. I felt like, man, I feel kind of gross because somebody's been in my space without me knowing. And they made a mess. But in my heart, I wasn't mad. I didn't lose my peace. I didn't start like, oh my gosh, these no good, good. Oh man, if I was their dad, I would, none of that. Like none of that was going on. I'm like, Lord, like I was able to disconnect that feeling. Okay, I feel a little violated. I feel like I don't like that feeling. But as far as that $100, this thing right here being gone didn't rock my world. And I was like, Lord, what happened? You received the reward. That is such an amazing reward for me. The reward of peace. The reward of grace in my heart. That this little $100 piece of paper did not rule me Thursday morning when I found out that it was missing. I believe, and this is, how does Chris Valadon say it? I would like to propose to you. I'm not saying this is gospel truth, but I believe that one of the greatest rewards of our giving is that grace that he gives us. And I'll give you another scripture from 2 Corinthians where he talks about the reward. Is that okay? Anybody feeling they're ready to go on? Feeling all right? That's awesome. So, that got me to thinking about what does the love of money look like? What is it? What is this verse that we were talking about before? No one can serve two masters. It could also be translated boss, almost. You know, your boss tells you what to do and you do it. The word there, it could be translated as boss. No one can serve two bosses, right? No one can love two masters. You're either going to love one and despise it. So I was like, Lord, what does it look like? What does loving money look like? And I used to picture it like Smeagol in The Lord of the Rings. You know, people with their money stacked in their corner and their cellar. Oh, my precious, my precious. Got their $100 bills. Oh, yes, my precious. Oh, I'm gonna hide you really, really good. Gonna find the best place for this one. And something I've learned recently, I feel like, is it's not that. It's not this like creepy, I love money. It is the ability of money to rule your heart. What rules your heart? Which one is the boss? Which one do you love? When this comes and I have peace, and when this goes and I lose my peace, I love the wrong master. When somebody goes into my truck and they steal my $100 bill and I'm rattled, or when somebody goes into my truck, steals my $100 bill, and my first thought is, oh my gosh, they don't know what the grace of Jesus is like to live this life free of that addiction to money. This person clearly has a money disorder. I don't know if it's a young man, a young woman, or whatever, but my heart, I just began to pray for that person to know the reward of grace in their lives. Because they think that this thing right here is going to make their day better. They think that that thing right there is going to make their lives better. They think that that thing is going to bring them comfort. They think it's going to give them joy. They think it's maybe, whatever they think, they don't know the reward that I know in Christ. And that's the difference. You know you love money or don't love money or love the Lord when one of those two is what decides the fate of your heart, the fate of where your mind is. Do I lose sleep? Did I lose sleep? Baby, did I lose sleep when that $100 bill got lost? No, I did not lose. That's my wife. She'll tell you. I did not lose sleep. I felt a little violated. She'll attest to that. And that is what the love of money, that is what this serving two masters looks like. It's subtle. It's so subtle. But I believe that the Lord, in this wax on, wax off process of my life, has been getting me to the point. I was so bad, you all. There was a season not long ago. Business was bad. I had to Uber to try to make ends meet, which was a terrible idea in a full-size pickup truck, by the way. You don't make a whole lot of money by the time you pay for the gas in the Uber. Don't do it. But I would wake up some mornings, like, just panicked. And the first thing I would do, instead of checking my Bible app, I would check my Bank of America app to make sure that there was money in the savings account. I would wake up and look throughout the day. I would just check my bank account, make sure everything was there. And when I saw a certain amount of money, I was like, okay, whew, I got enough money to pay the mortgage this month. Okay, and I was like going to that to be comforted on a regular basis. I told you I was going to be a little bit vulnerable, and it sounds silly, but that's where I was living. I would go through every single thing. Like I had this like this paralyzing fear of like being homeless and being a father of four and why, like, and not being able to take care of my family. And this paralyzing fear would come over me. And I would, to make myself feel better, go through and be like, okay, mortgages this month. Okay. We don't really need electricity. That's just an option. Okay. Food. You got to have some of that, but we can do like beans and rice. And I was like making the most minimal list of things that I could come up with. And we go, okay, God, I got it down. $1,200. Okay? And I just started making this deal with God. Like, if I can just get $1,200, we'll be good. And I was like doing this weird thing because that was my master. Can you guys check with me a little bit there? Like, I was trying, like, all right, Lord, I want to make this as easy for you as possible, God. $1,200. That's all we need. It's ridiculous, right? But that's where I was at. Money had such a pull on my heart that I looked to it almost constantly, several times a day, for comfort, to make myself feel better. And when the money came in, I was doing really good. And when it was short, I was really bad. Can't you tell me how many times Brittany had to say, God's good all the time? I'm like, I don't want to hear what your Baptist preacher says. I don't. Every time that we leave their church, it's like, God is good all the time, all the time. Yeah, God. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. That's not going to pay my mortgage. You know, like, this is where I was in this really awful headspace. And in this wax on, wax off process, the Lord was after my heart. He wanted my heart to be free of this bipolar disorder with money that I was living in. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy. Here's an interesting thing about that. Do you know moths don't destroy clothes that you wear regularly? You know rust doesn't corrode tools that you use regularly? Think about that for a second. I'm not talking about like you got a little winter stash and a summer stash and maybe a fat stash and a skinny stash, you know. I got a skinny stash in my closet right now, like hoping I'm gonna get back into it one day. I'm not talking about those. Who's got a skinny stash here? Okay, there we go. I feel like once a week I look at that skinny stash and be like, I'm gonna get in you one day. I'm coming for you, size 32. Coming for you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the surplus. I think it's interesting that Jesus would use that the terms moths and rust. He's talking about your treasure, and this is, again, I'm proposing this to you, was like me looking at my bank account and allowing the surplus in my account to bring me peace. I feel like Jesus is saying your treasure. If you have a surplus that has sat for so long that now moths are destroying it, and now it's sat for so long unused that rust is corroding it, then you have decided to put your trust and your treasure in something other than heaven. And this doesn't just apply to people who have the surplus, and it doesn't just apply to the people who has the clothes that are getting moths eaten. It also applies to the people who think the surplus is going to give them peace. Does that make sense? Because I found out it's not only rich people who love money. I have never been rich, and I had the most awful love and addiction to money. I know a lot more poor people who love money more than rich people do. Can I get an amen there? This love of money has nothing to do with how much of it you have or you don't have. It has everything to do with how much comfort it allows you to have and not have. If I believe that in my brokenness, like the person who stole my $100 bill, if I believe like that person that somehow that little surplus that I got is going to give me whatever, I have just opened it up to the moths in the rust, because that has been my treasure. Moths don't show up overnight. They have to be sitting there. It is a surplus that is unused. And I feel like that's what the Lord was saying. Don't allow the surplus to be your comfort. Don't allow the surplus to be your treasure. And I wrestle with that, because, like, you know, that could really take you down the wrong path of a minimalist lifestyle where I just don't have anything. I'm not going to prepare for my future. I'm not going to have extra clothes or whatever. But then I came across Psalm 62, verse 10. This is really good. It gave me permission to be rich. Not there yet, but it gave me permission, in case you wanted some permission to have abundance. 62, verse 10. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. I really feel like the person that stole that $100 from me had a vain hope that somehow this is going to make things right. But then look at this last verse. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Can I get an amen? What? That is good news. If riches increase, what is the condition? Don't set your heart on it. It's okay for riches to increase. My truck, and this is a true story. I had the best year in business last year I've ever had. And I went to call. I was like, you know what? I'm going to call in on in January. I'm going to get my truck paid off because I am tired of making truck payments. Called in, did the whole thing. What's your mother's maiden name? What's your social security? What's the alphabet spelled backwards? Whatever you got to do to get into your account when you don't have the passcode. And after all that, they're like, sir, sorry, but we don't have an account here in your name. Like, who have I been paying $375 a month for the past however many years it's been? Hold on, let me check one more thing. Oh, when you made your January payment, sir, you paid your truck off. You paid your truck off and you didn't even know it. Woo, that was a test right there. Because I wanted to start putting my heart into that extra $375 a month surplus that I just stepped into because my truck got paid off and I didn't know it. Something had just increased and I had a decision to make. Am I going to be more joyful now because my truck's paid off? Am I going to rest a little bit better this month because now I got an extra $375? Hey, maybe I don't have to eat beans and rice this month now because I got a little extra money. Oh, maybe we can turn the electricity back on now, God. Okay. It was right there before me. I celebrated and I was like, God, that is so good. Thank you. But even if this truck was still an issue, I want my heart to be at the exact same spot. I want to be able to rejoice in God. I want my treasure to be in God. And I don't want this truck being paid off to cause me any more comfort than when it was not paid off. When riches increase, set not your heart on them. I love that. It's like built in the scripture right there. Increase is good. Your heart going where the increase is, not so much. Let your heart be set on God. That's what he's after. He has been after your heart from the very beginning. He'll be after your heart for the rest of your lives. And I thank God for the ups and downs with money, because money has been the one thing in my life that always keeps me coming back to him. You know, some people have things like maybe sickness. Some people have, like, you know, whatever it is, maybe children in and out of stuff. For me, this point in my life, money has been that thing that always brings me back to my knees, that always brings me, Lord, help. Lord, I need you. And I'm so thankful that the whole time, like I said at the very beginning, it wasn't about the money. It was about him and me and my heart being connected to his and allowing the true riches of his grace to be my reward. What's the whole point of that therefore that we read in Matthew earlier? You cannot serve God and money. Some translations say mammon. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Do you know how much freedom there is when you have decided to allow God to rule your heart instead of money? When you have decided to love God more than money? When you have allowed God to become your king and your boss and not money? What is the result? What is the direct result? You're not anxious about your life. Did you know that the minute that you step into anxiety and stress, your immune system takes an immediate hit? Did you know that? I never thought about that. The connection between which boss I listen to will have a direct impact on my overall health of life. The way the Bible reads, you cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. I lived so anxious for those years when I had to look at my bank account. Can you imagine the ups and downs of my bank account and the ups and downs and the anxiety of that? Can anybody else imagine that? Or am I the only one that has to deal with that, that dealt with that? And then the Lord's promise, therefore, do not be anxious. You get to step into. Not only are you living in peace, but now I believe that you have opened yourself up to a healthier life. Because the enemy doesn't care about your bank account. He wants you to die. He doesn't care if you're broke. I learned this. My biggest fear was being homeless under the bridge with my four children and my wife. That was it. And, you know, the enemy doesn't care if I'm homeless under the bridge with my four kids. As long as I got a heartbeat, he is not content because he wants me dead. And one of the little subversive ways he tries to take us out is by getting anxiety into us. And as soon as you step into anxiety, science proves this, your immune system takes an immediate hit. You ever heard of somebody getting stress ulcers? What? A stress ulcer? How does something that is completely inanimate, you cannot take stress and look at it under a microscope, but yet that thing has the ability to cause an ulcer. Is anybody else blown away by that thought? And then you redeem that thought in the power of grace and peace in your life to actually bring healing and wholeness to your body by not living anxious, but not living stressed. I never saw the connection before. I'm literally opening myself up to sickness when I allow the God of mammon to rule my life. And it's not because God's punishing me. It's because I have stepped into something that is not for me to live with. I am not, as a believer, I am not created to live with anxiety. I am not created to live in a constant state of stress. We were talking about this other way. Picture a frequency. Picture, you know, if you play in the key of E in music, there's certain notes that are going to fit good in that key, but you throw something, I'm not very whatever, but you throw a note in there that doesn't belong, you've been there before, it's like, oh, hit the wrong note, and just sends like shivers down your spine. It's like, oh gosh, that was the wrong note there. Or maybe I put my finger on the wrong fret or something, but that did not sit well with my ears. It's like that. We are created to be princes and princesses of peace. And when we allow the God of mammon to rock our world and step into anxiety, we have just allowed the wrong note into who we are. And you feel it. Your body feels it. and you get rocked at your core because I am not made for that note. I am not made for that stress. And the Lord is saying, come back. Come back to where the treasure, that heaven treasure of grace, that heaven treasure of peace. Get back in to that frequency. I call it the key of God or whatever. And don't allow the key or the note of the enemy any place in your heart. There's a bunch of stuff in scripture we can talk about. I'm talking about money today, but there's other things. Anger is one of those things. You know, you can go down the list, but I'm talking about money today, and I've never seen that before. Thank God. It's been a while since I've been sick, and I feel like a part of that is I've been less anxious. I have dethroned that God of mammon to rock my world. And I feel like I have a stronger immune system because of it. It's just God's principles at work in my life. That's all it is. I don't believe that God punishes me for stress. There are consequences of stress, right? There's a consequence. I'm going to land this thing. Oh, when I was kind of doing some studying, I read this thing. It was just a funny joke. There's a famous comedian that says, everybody says money talks, and mine usually tells me goodbye. I thought that was lighten it up a little bit. I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, yeah, and our culture has weird things like the almighty dollar. It sounds really, really close to almighty God, right? It's like little subtle things like that, man. I really believe the church, man, we've got to be the people of hope when it comes to finances. If we see something happening in the stock market and the church is jumping out the windows just as fast as the world is, we've lost something. When we're just as rattled, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We've lost our influence because we've lost the hope that we have in Him. We've got to get this. And it didn't happen overnight for me, but I just feel like the Lord would not let me go another opportunity to speak at Morningstar without sharing this, at least to bring some hope to you, to encourage you, to allow Him to search your heart a little bit about anywhere there might be a little bit of love of money. 2 Corinthians 9, this is what I mean. Someone who sows sparingly will reap sparingly as well. Someone who sows generously will reap generously. Everyone should do as they have determined in their heart, not in gloomy spirit or simply because they have to. Well, God's a cheerful giver. I ought to be on to. Mentality. Woo. I said a couple weeks ago, sometimes we got to fight for the why that we do stuff. Anybody remember that? We got to fight for the why behind what we're doing. I would never say, well, if you're not cheerful about it, then just stop all giving. No, I would never say that. Travis wouldn't let me say that. We don't want your money unless you're happy about giving it. No. This is so much more fun as like not the lead pastor. Like, I just you know what? I just want to give props to Travis. He didn't even ask me what I was speaking about today. Like, there's such a trust, and I don't claim to be perfect by any means. I'm just kind of processing what I've been experiencing, and I just appreciate you being willing to let me share from the heart today. But the why here, you might not be cheerful about it. It doesn't say don't give. I believe it's our responsibility to fight for the why. Lord, why am I not cheerful about this? What's going on in my heart that is making me begrudgingly give this, maybe even give out of obligation? I know giving is right. I know that there's a power that is released when I let go of this thing that has the ability to become a kryptonite in my soul. Oh, Lord, and just begin to fight for the why. Because the minute that you say, well, I'm not going to give until I'm happy about it, whoo, you just opened yourself up to actually having more kryptonite than what you can handle. So fight for the why, you all. Fight for it. Don't just give up on, well, my heart's not right, I'm not going to do it. No, Lord, search me, know me. I'm after your heart, Lord. Here we go. And God is well able to lavish. Now, this is the part I was expecting to be abundant riches, prosperity, wealth. And here he says, and God is well able to lavish all his grace upon you. What does that mean? The Bank of America don't take grace on their deposit slips. $1.2 million. Oh, that's not dollars. That's grace. Sir? Trust me, 2 Corinthians, it's there. Just deposit that. Lavish all his grace upon you, so that in every matter, in every way, you will have enough of everything and may be lavish in all your own good works. Just as the Bible says, they spread their favors wide, they gave to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. That right there has got to excite us. The lavishness of God's grace is the reward. And if that disappoints you, you know, is it too soon? As John Chris would say, check your heart. Not too soon, is it? Check your heart. This right here, if you don't get this right, this will set you up to resent God. Because I resented God for a long time because I gave, and the next week, my pressure washer was stolen. And I gave, and so far this year, some hoses of mine I've gone through 150 feet of hose and a hose reel. And I'm like, God, I'm giving. Am I not giving enough? You mean to give more so my stuff stops breaking? Like, I would give and I would start resenting God because in my mind I'm thinking, well, if I give, then, you know, I'm only gonna see increase and I'm not gonna see breaking stuff. And like, no, his word is clear. And God is well able to lavish all his grace upon you. And there, I have to be at a place where his grace is more valuable to me than any monetary thing that I could ever receive. I would rather be rich in grace and broke as a joke. I knew Margaret would like that. I would rather be rich in grace and not have any money in my account than have all the money in the world in my account and have no grace. Hey, it's not one or the other. I'm just letting you know this verse is. Yes, you can. Just as long as your heart doesn't go with it, right? Psalm 62. We already covered that. Yeah, I love that. So that in every matter, in every way, you will have enough of everything and may be lavish in all your own good works. Isn't that just so good? My heart behind today is if there's anywhere in your lives, just like there's areas I'm still working through. I literally 3 weeks ago found out my truck was paid off and I had to set my heart on him and not the extra money that was just coming in. If my heart is this, I hope you hear my heart. The Lord wants his people to be free. The Lord wants his people to value his grace more than the $100 bill that got stolen out of your truck. The Lord wants to value want you to value his lavishness of love, of peace. And if there's anywhere that you have allowed the notes of anxiety to sneak in, he wants to get you tuned back up right. He wants you to come into alignment with him and allow the good boss, the good shepherd, the good, kind king to be the one that rules your heart and the one that you love more than anything else. Because it's only in that do we actually find true peace. I wish I could promise you a bunch of prosperity after that financially, but I can't. But I guarantee you the prosperity of grace is so much more valuable. I think that's everything I have. I'm gonna pray. And then first one up here gets 100, I'm just joking. First one to the altar gets 100 bucks. Oh, Jesus. Lord, money is such a, it's a part of our lives, Lord. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's not. Lord, I thank you for just where you've brought me and where you continue to bring me in my relationship with money. And I pray anyone here who has allowed money to cause them peace or anxiety, Lord, that you would just gently come in, just realign the treasure of their hearts back to your kingdom, Lord. Allow the lavishness of your grace to excite us. The secret reward that you give to those who give, Lord, we welcome that, whatever it looks like. Continue to teach us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, continue to lead us into all truth when it comes to money and how to manage it well. Lord, we recognize all money is yours. We're just managing your money, Lord. Give us the grace, Holy Spirit, to do it well.